Yeah, man. It looked a little more fresh, and we were ready to go. We had a good time there. There's a lot of you see a lot of games, a lot of fun. Their goal is to wear the kids out so they'll sleep at night. And so, was you guys wore out? You weren't wore out? They slept at night though. They did. They slept at night. It was a good time. We had a lot of fun, and the messages were great. And I still can't help but see Pastor Nance with that big hat and walking around. He was, what was it? Y'all remember his name? Rattlesnake Jake in the skits. He was Rattlesnake Jake. And the funniest thing, it's this image I have now from now on. They were riding in on a stick pony, a little pony's head on a stick, and he would ride on in this pony, but the two guys rode behind him. They were all on one horse. They come in riding together. It's like, we need to get another. Anyway, I can't help get. It was a lot of fun, and the skits were there. It's kind of a little bit in a vacation Bible school kind of deal with some of the different skits and some of the different things. But it was a great time, and we'll look forward to going back next year. Amen? Amen. It was a blessing. I want to turn our Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We're going to do something a little different tonight. I want to get to the point when I say we're going to do something a little different, and you're like, well, that's not different. That's normal to do something different. Then we've arrived at, what I'm trying to get to is that we're just going to try to keep a little bit fresh, but I want to see something the Lord laid on my heart, and I want to get into this. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Let's all stand together tonight. Give you another chance to stand. I know y'all just got cozy in there. Sorry, this will be it. You won't have to stand again for another hour and a half. verse 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to be here tonight, thankful for your word. We're thankful for all that you do in our life. You're such a wonderful Savior. And Lord, we know that we can count on you. And yet, Lord, tonight we look at this passage and the situations that are involved in our time, in our history, and yet as well as within our own lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, number one, I want to talk about the last days. The last days. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So, when exactly are the last days? Right? I mean, rather what we're saying, what I mean here by that is, rather, what time period is Paul here speaking of? When is he speaking of? Well, this term has been used in many different places in the Scripture. If you go through the Bible and find all the places that it talks about the last days, it actually has a lot of different places from the Old Testament and all the way in through the New Testament. But it seems to point to a period that began after the resurrection. Keep your place here in 2 Timothy. We're going to be back there. Turn over to the book of Acts. Acts in chapter 2. I want you to see here the one of the first places we find this, in a sense, there in the new church age, Acts chapter 2 and verse 12. And we find here on the day of Pentecost when they were speaking and all these other people verse 8, it says, and how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we're born. And so they hear this. And now in verse 12, it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the, what? Last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so here's what he said. But that which is, this is, but what has come to pass is what was spoken in the Old Testament about that day. So the last days, we look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to find the last days actually really in the New Testament kind of to begin at that period. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom hath appointed the heir of all things. So he says, he was already talking about in Hebrews in these last days. So what we want to understand when we're talking about last days, when do last days start? Well, it started kind of really at that time of Jesus Christ, and particularly at his resurrection, and that's what was spoken of even from the Old Testament. During this age, it's from the resurrection of Christ unto the rapture, we are living in this period that's known as the last days. So when people say, oh, we're living in the last days, you're exactly right. And they say, well, they've been saying we're living in the last days from the time of Christ. Yeah, you got it. Good, good. You know, that's the truth. But maybe we could think of the last days even more particularly as we approach the end of the last days. And so often what we think of, and we say this, We're in the last days of the last days. Pastor Leidick would always say that. He'll say we're in the last moments of the last minutes of the last days. You know, he'll say stuff like that. And I think that there's some truth to some of that, and or at least I think there's a good perception that is the case. So what I want to look at tonight, back in 2 Timothy, what will the last days look like? Well, we know from verse 1 that it'll be perilous. It's going to be perilous. So, perilous is a word that means troublesome and fierce. Okay? It's the idea of violence. It fits it real well. When we talk about these days of perilous, it's going to be a day of violence. This is also the word that was used when we think about the story of the maniac of Gadara. Remember that? That's the word when it was talking about them, those that were possessed by the devils, that would let no man pass. That's the same word that's used there of what the situation they were in. This perilous thing. And so the last days will bring in perilous times. So when we think about perilous times, fierce, violent times, right? That's what it says in verse 1. Y'all with me? What might these perilous times involve? What might they involve? So it brings us to point number 2. Misplaced love. If you're writing this down, misplaced love. Look back at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 2 with me. Again, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such, turn away. Now that right there is a lot to unpack, isn't it? That's a lot of stuff there. And when we give all this list, we kind of find a lot of things that he starts saying, this is what the perilous times are going to look like. And he goes on this, and so there's a lot to unpack there, but let me start with this. Number one is this, men will be lovers of who? Selves. The lives of people in that time will be self-centered. Which involves, as we find this list goes on, which involves being covetous. Meaning, that word covetous here, particularly, is not just a general covetous. It kind of, in this sense, it means having a meaning, a love of, and for money, particular. Okay? Which turns to boasting of self. Right? Which turns to being proud of self. Okay, you're all with me. And then and the word blasphemy is here in this, so sometimes you use the same word in different places in the Bible. Here the word blasphemy simply means speaking against others. And so you see this kind of this process going on. I want to do a little illustration that I learned at camp this week. I'd already had this message prepared, and on Thursday, Pastor put this up here where you can see it. The preacher came and he showed this illustration, and I was sitting there thinking, I thought, man, that's exactly what I'm looking at, what I'm talking about. And I thought, man, it was a pretty powerful illustration. Sometimes it's good to see stuff illustrated out. We'll hope that this all works here. So what I want us to see here is, and what we're talking about here is this thing of men being lovers of their own selves. Self-centered people are hard to handle. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Self-centered people are hard to handle. I want to just do a little illustration, and I want some help, and I'm going to have Brother Jonathan. come on up here if you can help me with this. And you know, when we are full of self, you can see in this cup here. If you look there, that water seems to kind of like have a skin, like a bubble on it. All right. What I want you to do is bring that over here. But don't make a mess. Don't make a mess. Oh, you already spilled some. Okay. You got to hold it carefully. Now, the thing is, well, hold on. Just keep it there for a minute. So here's the thing with when we're full of self. Somebody that's full of self, you know, you don't even want to. If you even bump them, see what happens? I mean, you're there, and if something happens, you're okay, go ahead and put it back down. I mean, this, you've spilled so much. Thank you. Man, that worked better than I thought. You know, somebody that's full of self, just even a little bump of them will cause them to overreact. You see what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying to you, folks, and I want you to grab this with me tonight. Is they're so full of self, there's no place for anyone else. There's no place for anyone else. By the way, when I say that there's no place for anyone else, there's no place for anyone else to have any place in their life. Matter of fact, they're still full. I mean, look at how what's spilled out, but somehow it's still full. I mean, if you look at that, there's still like this skin that if I just try to grab it, you know, it's already going again. I mean, it's a mess, and I'm glad I got this. It has the lip on it and held that. So here's the thing. When somebody's full of self, there's no place for them to give any place for grace. There's no place to give any forgiveness. no understanding, so full of self that it becomes, if you just get near them, right? You get near them you can bump them and boom, something comes out. It's like, we could say they have a short what? We have a short fuse, right? So we end up, you know what we end up doing? Watch this. Listen to what I'm saying. We end up avoiding them. Somebody that's full of self, we become very gentle around them, right? We say, sometimes I like to say, you know, we'll handle them with kid gloves, right? We're being very gentle, make sure, because we know they've got this short fuse. We know what's going on here, so we're gentle around them. Sometimes even to the point of not speaking to them. You ever known somebody that is so much like this that you avoid speaking to them because you know if you say something to them, anything, doesn't matter what you say, and they're apt to just explode right out of their cup. Okay, you ever done this with somebody? You didn't know they were so full of self. And you didn't even know self was what they were full of. Because maybe we didn't know that that's what's going on with somebody. And the thing is, what they've done is you've come up and you've said something that normally would have been fine to say to normal people. And maybe on a normal day, it would have been okay to say to them. But that day, they were so full of self that when you came up and said something, boom, it blew up. And you're like, man, I shouldn't have said anything to them. Right? And so then it takes a period of time before you can go talk to them again. And so, listen, you don't speak to them because you know they're easily going to explode and I don't know what I'm going to say. And so they're so full. Listen, they have no space. They have no space left in their life for correction. Can't correct them. Hey, you ever thought about it? No, I have not thought about that. You're right. Like you start to try to tell them something and there's no space for correction because I'm so full of stuff already. I have no space for anything else to go in. Right? So there's no space for correction. There's no space for instruction. Hey, can I help you with that? Right? There's no space for instruction. There's no space for correction. There's no space for, watch this, there's no space for anyone to even disagree with them. So full. Can I just say, someone that's full of self, they're a mess to deal with. I mean, they're just messy. And what we end up doing is stay back from them. This will be the condition of more and more and more people in the last days. It's going to be the condition. But then as we look at this list here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I talked about men's lover in themselves, which leads to covetousness, leads to boasting, leads to being proud, leads to blasphemers. But then there's this weird one pops up in this list. All that, and then disobedient to parents. Doesn't that just feel like, okay, those, yep, that's a line. Okay, that fits. And then disobedient to parents. This is fascinating to realize that the times that he's talking about will even be demonstrated in the character of the who? Of the children. Often children who themselves would probably, and many, would be under the age of accountability maybe, who will have already, watch this folks that I'm going to say to you tonight, they will have already been corrupted by self-centered parents and society. Wow. Well, why are the children lumped in there? Well, because the children, we don't live on an island, do we? Right, we don't live separate from the rest of the world. It doesn't matter. I can do what I want to do, and it doesn't matter to anyone else. Life doesn't really work like that, does it? There's cause and effect all around us, and so we find in this list. I find it fascinating that in this list, what's going to happen is the children themselves are going to be corrupted by self-centered parents. This seems to fit well with our day today, doesn't it? Maybe more than any other day in history, because I'm telling you something that we can say. Well, there's always been problems in history. You could find the ebb and flow of wickedness of men throughout history. But I'll tell you what we don't really find a lot of, really, historically, is rebellious children. Right? I mean, you look back in history, children are, for the most part, kept in a pretty good line through history. Sometimes over-aggressively. I'm just trying to say what I'm saying about this thing here. This identifies our day maybe more than any other day. And I don't. That doesn't mean to say kids were always good kids, but this thing of being disobedient to parents is really kind of relatively new in the past maybe 100 years or so. I'm not saying it didn't exist at all, but it wasn't mainstream. So we certainly find that our time fits in there. Which leads us to the next thing on this, which obviously is the very next thing, which leads to the next thing, which is what? Unthankful. Self-centered people give thanks to no one but self. Man, God's really blessed you. Well, I worked hard for what I got. Right? Self-centered people, can I remind you, a self-centered person is so full of self, there's not even really any place for God to bless them. Now, I'm not saying God hasn't blessed them, but there's no place left to thank God for the blessing because I'm so full of self. So there's no place there, and so they're unthankful. We find this condition, they're unthankful. Self-centered people give thanks to no one but themselves, and which it leads to is that they become, the next one on that list is unholy. And when we're saying unholy, we don't just mean debauchery in that sense, but holy meaning this, they give no place to God. God does not pass through their mind at all. All that they do, all that passes through their mind is self. Become unholy. So a byproduct of this behavior is, we find there then in verse 3, is without natural affections. And what this phrase means here, sometimes we'll say, oh, that's homosexual. That's not actually not what it means there. What it means here is it's lacking the natural, the normal family relationships, the family love. So what ends up happening is what's normal and the relationships that should be normal, natural affections. Is it natural for a mother, for a baby to love their mother? Absolutely. I have seen the worst, most wicked, vile mothers that the babies and the children still like. And I know I'm sure you've seen that. And we see these kind of things. And you're like, you're thinking, how do you love this person that is so cruel to you? Because it's natural. But when we get so full of self, we're missing those natural affections. Things that should be natural and normal, something's missing. But also, there seems to suggest in this thing of the natural, of the without natural affection, also seems to suggest in that phraseology there too, a lack of natural ability to interact socially. I don't know if there's ever been a time as socially awkward as 2025. I mean, now it's been going on for, it's not, didn't start this year, it's been going on for, you know, maybe a couple decades. But the social inability, the social awkwardness, the children that can speak to other people, I may have said this, talked about this before, in Japan. This has been probably 20 years ago, plus that around that time frame. Japan's, and probably still going on, their population is declining. And a lot of, and I read this article many years ago that said now many Japanese citizens are having marriages online to a avatar or something. Not to real people. Because they don't want to interact with people. So they have this pretend like this Sims world or simulated world somewhere. And like they're just so separated from reality. So this has been going on. We're living in a day that people are lacking and they're without those natural affections. which leads us, continues down the list here, which leads people, when you don't have those natural affections and relationships one with another, it leads to people being truce breakers. No more is there honor in one's word. Remember when a handshake would seal a deal? I don't. Maybe when I was a kid. Boys would do that. We'd spit on it. You remember? Did some of y'all do that? Any of you guys do that? Never did that? Some of y'all should have. You just spit on your hand. You're like, that's gross. I don't know why. Why did you do that? I don't know. Why is putting saliva together on you? Better than kissing them. It's what they're doing today. Anyway, so anyway, sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It's true, but... I mean, you could have shaken. You know, I remember it wasn't my generation. Before my generation, I've heard of people making land deals on a handshake. Deals on a handshake. We're living in a day of what these things, these extrapolate down. It comes to the people. There's no longer the truce breakers. Someone's word today means very little. Then the next thing to be then becoming false accusers. And what is here called incontinent, which meaning it's the word that means lacking the power of self-control. Again, we already talked about it. When you're so full of self, there's nothing left of you. So when anybody comes against you at all, it's an explosion. You can't control yourself. There's no place left. We need some place in our life to have self-control. We need something else to be able to push in, to be bumped against. We've been driving down the road and somebody comes by and waves at you unfriendly. And you're like, and you're sitting there like, what on earth did I do? Or I've thought sometimes that maybe I cut over something. I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, are you that angry about that? Right? What a strange... I'm telling you, this thing of becoming a lack of self-control, which leads to fierceness of man. And ultimately, to despise any that are good, who will be the targets of all the fierceness. Will be traitors. Traitors going against the very... Their own conscience, against any kind of decision, friendship. And also heady. The very heady. You know what I mean? When I say heady? No. Well, the word heady, it really is a word meaning reckless or rash. Making a rash or a quick decision. Making a quick decision and somebody's just, I'm just not going to do it. And this is the same thing. When you're full, you explode in things. And it says they're high-minded, meaning to be filled up with their own pride. Term means to be the high minded. The term means to be wrapped up in smoke. So this thing about being this high minded, it's really being so full of self that there's no space for anything else but me. So here at this point is where we see what is really being pointed here by Paul to Timothy. They are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So being a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God would seem, can I say, it seems kind of obvious for the wicked, right? For a prideful crowd. But notice again in verse 5. Here's what it says. Having a form of what? Godliness, but denying the power thereof. So here's the thing that these people he's talking about are professing believers. You see that? These are professing, they have a form of godliness. I mean, they're saying they're believers. Can you? What? Where did that come from? I mean, I didn't see that come. You're thinking this is, yeah, we see this in our world. And he said, no, this is people that are professing godliness. They even claim to be Christians, but are absolutely void of the power of God. So here now is the warning. What does he say? Just try to be better. No, what does he say to do? Turn away from such people. We see now what Paul referred to as the last days. When were the last days? What was he talking about? He says there at the end, from such turn away. That's present continuous. It means right now. Right now, even then, you know, a couple thousand years ago, they were living in that day. So which means we're still living in that day. He said, we're going to see this kind of people. We're going to see this that are so full of self, that are so full of self, there's no space left. They're going to be a mess to deal with. They're going to be messy around. This is going to be the tenure of the last days. He said, of those kind of people, they're going to be so far away from God. He said, of such, turn away. We're to have nothing to do with that form of false Christianity. Turn away from them. I want to say this here. The only way to overcome the tragedy of self-centeredness, do you think that list could apply to us? I mean, do you think we could find ourselves in this place, or is this just for the lost? I think we could easily find ourselves. How do I know if I'm there? Because if I'm self-centered, I'm so centered on self, I don't think I'm selfish. Right? How do you self-identify that I've crossed the line? Well, bro, I'll tell you, you have crossed. No, I haven't. Right? You know how we can know? It's because we're like this. We can't be bumped. We can't be talked to. We can't be disagreed with. We can't be corrected. We can't be given anything because we have no space for any of it. So what do I do when I've realized that that's me? You ever realize that was you? You don't need to raise your hand. I'll just raise my hand for all of us, right? Sometimes I know I have a problem, but I'm not sure what to do about it. So, I don't even know how to handle myself. Right? I could be so full of self, I don't know how to handle self. Isn't that weird? But this is exactly what happens. And when we look at this story, we think about this picture, we're like, man, I have corrupted not just me, but those around me. And now I've given, oh, wow, you know what I just realized? I've given no place for anybody else to even help me now. Because, you know, I don't have natural affections anymore. So nobody can really even have that relationship with me to give any. So who's going to help me? I don't take the time to fellowship. I don't take the time to get to know somebody because I don't have any space for somebody to get to know me and me to share my life. I don't have any. I'm full. My cup is full. So, What do I do? Nobody can give me correction. Nobody can talk to me about it. And even though I realize it's the problem, somebody comes up and tries to help me, and I still don't even know how to receive it because I have no room still. So there's only one way. And can I tell you, that way is a little messy. So you know what I have to do? I have to empty myself of self. It's the only thing. It's the only way to get. You say, do we have to empty ourselves of all self? Can I just keep some self? It doesn't really work like that because self is this list. So if I get a little bit, it's going to be back up to the top in no time. So what I have to do is I'm going to have to empty self of self so I have room for somebody to come in. And I want you to see something here. I'm not going to be able to get through. Yeah. I don't even get to the next part because the next part's a whole other part. I think it's enough for tonight. There's consequences to how we behave and how we think of ourselves. And you know what's interesting? the thing about self is much of the Word of God is us, is God trying to get us away from self, that we would trust Him. Man, it's so natural for us to just Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Lord, we are not really even mentally and emotionally and physically prepared to deal with the overwhelming self-centeredness of humanity. Lord, we see that the last days is just right now, Lord, and if there's any day, it's now. And Lord, if there's any day that we're going to find revival in our lives, if there's any time that we're going to need revival, Lord, it's right now. And Lord, when we consider this passage and what was being spoken to, Lord, it's the ones that are to be avoided. And Lord, help us not to find ourselves there. And Lord, when we do, Lord, would You teach us to empty ourselves of self that we might have space to fill You in, that You might fill us up, and that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, might have a way with us. And Lord, You might use others to come alongside of us and encourage us. Others might come alongside of us and give us true counsel and even point out some things in our life. And Lord, that we would have the space in our own life to be able to receive it. Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts tonight. Would You convict us? Lord, would You deal with us, encourage us to deal with You? Well, thank You for it now in Jesus.